Good morning, everyone. Good to see you out here. It is a beautiful day, and once again, a wonderful time for us to be in the house of the Lord to praise our Father together, to lift up the name of Jesus, and to grow in His Word. We're continuing on in this series, Blessed from the Beatitudes. It's a fresh look at them. If you would like to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, we'll be reading from that text once again. If you're using the Pew Bibles, that's page 1501. It says in verse 1 of chapter 5, "Now when he, speaking of Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" Verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." When was the last time you were really hungry? Now, I don't mean head hunger. That's when we think about something that we think would taste good and think we would like to have it. Back in the day, for those of you around my age, Andy Griffith was on a commercial for Ritz crackers. And he said, "You know, what are you hungry for when you don't know what you're hungry for?" And they'd say, "Well, something on a Ritz." Well, I would suggest that if you don't know what you're hungry for, maybe you're not all that hungry. The Scots used to call that feeling a little peckish, you know, like pecking like a bird. Then I think I might like to have something. So that sounds kind of good to me. I'm feeling a little bit, you know, like I'd like to snack on something. Kids say they're starving when they just ate an hour ago and then turn up their noses at what we offer them. Is that really hungry? We do similar things. Nina, my wife, asks me sometimes if I'm hungry, and I might say, "Well, not particularly. I just ate an hour or so ago. Again, I'm not really hungry." Then she'll ask me if I'd care for some ice cream. Suddenly, I'm rethinking my earlier assessment about that. You know, maybe I'm hungrier than I thought. Within the crowd, though, that Jesus addressed, there would be people who knew real hunger. They understood the concept of being famished, where they'd experienced a life with more famines than feasts. They knew what it was like to go to bed hungry and wake up hungry. Now, I'm sometimes hungry, so hungry, matter of fact, that I don't feel quite like myself. I'm feeling that way a little bit this morning. So you know, you won't mind if I just have a little treat here, a little Snickers bar right now, right? So because I'm not feeling quite myself. And I think, yeah, if I just have a bite or two. That's pretty good. Yeah, I think I'm coming around. I think I'm beginning to feel like myself again. Well, I should have rehearsed that. That's kind of sticking the roof of my mouth there a little bit, the dental work. But yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm okay now. I'm okay. No. Didn't bring any to share, but you guys, you're doing fine. I think you're fine. It's me who wasn't myself, but I'm coming around now, I think. That's the way it is sometimes. We just are hungry for something special, and it's a craving that we have that's not real hunger. My belly growls sometimes in the morning because it's still processing what I ate the night before. Not because it's beginning to feed off of my stomach lining is what really begins to happen when you've gone a long time without food and you're really hungering. And when were you really thirsty the last time? We were really thirsty. Again, Jesus spoke to people who lived in an arid climate without running water. Wells were sometimes few and far in between. We almost always have water fountains and taps close at hand, don't we? So many of us carry water bottles and commuter cups with us, even if we're just going across town. And even then, you know, particularly if it's a little longer journey than we thought, or maybe on the way back, we might stop on the way to pick up a Big Gulp or a Starbucks or some other specialty drink. We're constantly sipping at something, even if it's just to wet our whistle or to tame a taste bud. Oh, I have been legitimately thirsty a few times in my life, even feeling pretty parched. Especially after working outside, you know, on a really hot day. And I've been working, you know, and I forgot to bring anything to drink, or I've left it, you know, in the truck, or I've left it over, you know, on the porch, or I've left it somewhere that's not close at hand, and I can get pretty dry. I even experienced heat exhaustion and dehydration when I worked in the steel mill. Working around furnaces that were heated to well over 2,700 degrees. I mean, it saps the strength from you, and you perspire so heavily that you can become very dehydrated. And even then, well, I passed out, actually, and rather than giving me liquid refreshment right away, they didn't want to put me into shock, and they gave me some salt tablets. And then some water, after once I'd cooled down. But even in those extreme circumstances, I never went very long without something to quench my thirst. So when have you been hungry? When have you really been thirsty? Now, when was the last time you were hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Because isn't that the issue that Jesus is addressing? Isn't that what he says? Now, to be fair, maybe we could say it wasn't that long ago, at least on one level. Do you long for justice in this world? Do you ache for honest and fair treatment? Do you truly desire for a life without evil and hatred and violence and depravity? Then maybe, at least on that level, you hunger and thirst for righteousness more than you think. You desire righteousness in the world. You desire for there to be just treatment in the world. You want for people to do right by others, to make right choices and to treat people right in the world. So, yeah, maybe you hunger and thirst for righteousness on that level. And if so, though, why aren't you being filled? Why aren't I being filled? I hunger and thirst for righteousness in that way. Isn't the promise that Jesus made that we would be filled? But now, may it suffice to say that such a world will be ours in time. A world where things will be right. There will be righteousness. There will be justice for all. What makes me think that? Well, if you were with us last week, you might remember that we saw that the meek would inherit the earth. And if that's so, eventually things are going to change. Eventually, we're going to be in a better place because the meek will not use and abuse others. The meek will not take advantage of others. The meek will not be treating people cruelly and violently for their own selfish ends. if the meek really do win in the end, see, the world will be a better place. The world will be one more of righteousness. But in the meantime, there's another level. If we really truly want to begin to be blessed in the here and now, we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness in a deeper sense, in a deeper way. So I need you to ask yourself, when did you last think to yourself, I really want to be a better person? I honestly long to be more loving, to be more kind and compassionate, more giving and forgiving. Above anything else, I want to do what is right. I want to be holy. I want to be set apart for God and His purposes. I want to live righteously. I want to do right by people. I want to treat people right. And not just once in a while, all the time. I want to be righteous. David wrote in Psalm 42, verse 1, some words that I would be surprised if you haven't at least heard. They've been celebrated in song and poem, as well as in the Word. He writes, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." Hear that? As the deer pants for streams of water. Why would a deer be panting for streams of water? Evidently, the deer is not near the water. And the deer's thirsty. The deer longs for water. I've never seen a deer pant for water. I've seen a deer drinking from water, but never seen a deer pant for water. I've seen dogs pant for water when they're hot and when they're thirsty. But the concept, the idea is of thirsting so badly that gasping for water that isn't there. And he says his soul pants for God in that way. But in Psalm 63:1, he says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Imagine wanting God and the things of God so desperately that you would seek after them like an oasis in the desert. Being so thirsty that you would do that. You would go to great lengths to find Him, to find the refreshment, to find the satisfaction, to find the nourishment that comes only from Him. And he even says his body longs for God, like a hunger within him. Have any of you ever had someone in your life that you long to be close to, that you desired to be intimate with? To be honest, that's a deep longing, isn't it? It's a deep longing. It's a longing that drives us sometimes to some extreme measures. To find satisfaction to be filled. David says, "I long for you, God, that way. I long for you as if I hunger for you. I desire to be with you. I desire that closeness, that intimacy with you." Imagine that. And if you hungered and thirsted for God and His righteousness, because Jesus would say that later on in the Sermon on the Mount, He would say, if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that the other things we need in life will come. But we need to seek Him first. We need to hunger for Him first. We need thirst for Him first. And if we did, well, we would make some effort, would we not, for that need, that desire, that longing to be filled. How much effort do you make to be able to go out and to dine at your favorite restaurant and to eat your favorite meal? How far across town would you travel for that deal on that particular meal that you want to serve up or to be served? What will you pay? What lengths will you go to? Imagine that you would rise up in the middle of the night, not for a snack, or even a drink, but for a refreshing word from the Lord. If we truly hunger and thirst for God and His attributes, His qualities, His characteristics, we would do whatever is necessary to possess them, wouldn't we? And Jesus says there's a blessing for those who hunger and thirst like this. What is the blessing? He says we will be filled. Filled with what? The logical conclusion is we'll be filled with what we're hungering and thirsting for. Righteousness. We'll be filled with decency and honesty and virtue and honor. And when we are, then we'll be equipped to live ethical, just, moral, good, and upright lives. To live righteously because we're filled with righteousness. I wrote an article for the bulletin this week called The Covenant of Salt. It was inspired because in some study that I was doing, I ran across this phrasing about a covenant of salt or a salt covenant. And it escaped me for so many years of my life. I just had glossed over it, read over it without seeing it. And I was driven to look into it further. And I see this covenant of salt as God made with His people. And the covenant had to do with, as best as I've been able to grasp and determine from what the Scripture says and what I found out through looking at traditional Jewish sources, had to do with the idea of purity and perseverance. Had to do with, see, a lasting covenant, a covenant that was pure and good and righteous. And one that was forever. So as God's salt covenant people, we'll be blessed to be a blessing both now and forever. That's what I've been preaching and teaching throughout this Beatitudes. We're blessed to be a blessing. As we read there, right after saying, blessed are you at thirst and hunger for righteousness, for you'll be filled, He says, for your salt and your light. And I cannot help but believe there's a connection here. That Jesus isn't talking to them about this covenant they have with God. He blesses them to be a blessing in the world. Just as He made a covenant again with Abraham, Genesis 12. They would bless him to be a blessing. So we're to be salt and light. We are to be righteous people in a very unrighteous world. Just think about it. When you look around you, isn't it obvious? There aren't enough people hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I mean, when you look around you again in the world, what do you see? What do you long for? You see unrighteousness, you long for righteousness, don't you? And when you look around in the community of Rockford and the surrounding areas, what do you see? Such a lack of righteousness so many times. And don't you long for that righteousness? How about when you look at your family? Is righteousness on a low ebb in your family? Is there something lacking there as far as righteousness is concerned? Do you long for more of that? Treating one another right? Treating each other decently and with honor and respect and virtue? And when you look in your own church, I mean, is there a lack of righteousness in the church at times? Are there people of God who are very unrighteous in their encounters and their interaction with people? In their personal choices? And how about when you look in your own heart? What's the fuel gauge like in your own heart? Are you filled with righteousness? Or is there impurity? Sinful attitudes, selfish and evil desires. Is that what you're filled with? You need topped up with some righteousness? Are we running low on righteousness? Then evidently we're not hungering and thirsting for it enough, because if we were, we would be being filled. Instead of snacking then all day long on junk food, maybe we should try chewing on God's Word a bit more. Instead of sipping everything from lattes to spring water, maybe we should be drinking deeply a bit more from the well of prayer. What do you think? In reference to some unwholesome TV and movies, a very good friend of mine used to say, garbage in, garbage out. Well, I'd have to agree with that. I'd have to agree with that. What you fill yourself with is likely what's going to come out. It's going to overflow. But if that's true, if that is true, then isn't it also true that if we would take in good, then good is what would come out? If we'd breathe in good, we'd breathe out good. If we would hunger and thirst for good, for righteousness, we'd be filled with that, and that's what overflow into our lives. And we would be a blessing to people. We would be a blessing in this world. There would be righteousness in a world of unrighteousness. There'd be more of it. Someone posted this on Facebook this past week. I don't know who. It was probably a repost anyway, but it said, the only one who can satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. I believe that's true. Because we're talking about satisfaction. We're talking about fulfillment here. And we run so many times hungering and thirsting for things that are toxic, if not poisonous. Things that will destroy us. Things that will cause us harm and cause us then to be infectious in a very bad way towards others. And the unrighteousness spreads rather than righteousness. When we chase after these toxic, poisonous things and fill ourselves with them, no wonder we are not only in a sick and dying world, but we are sick and dying ourselves. What's the answer? The answer is to come to the one who can truly satisfy. The answer is to come to the one who not only fills, but fulfills. The answer is to come to Jesus. If you hunger and thirst this morning, I urge you, I encourage you, come to Jesus.